Welcome to a new episode of Real Leadership, where we discuss leadership ideas for the real estate professional. Our show is hosted by 50-year industry veteran leader, Bob McKinnon. Bob is a certified leadership trainer with the John Maxwell Team and the Og Mandino Leadership Institute. Bob is perfectly positioned to seek out and deliver some of the best ideas from the great leaders within our industry. And now, here's our host, Exit Realty's Director of Leadership, Bob McKinnon.
Well, welcome everybody to our podcast, Real Leadership. You know, this is the place where we as professional realtors get together and discuss leadership ideas, how to build things. So I searched from all over the North American continent, all over the world actually, for people who are thought leaders and leading organizations and changing things. And today we have a wonderful guest that's really made a difference in a very special world, Mr. Donnell Spivey. Hello, Donnell.
Hi, Bob. How are you doing today?
I'm doing terrific. It is just grand to talk to you. And folks, what I want to do today is to take you through a kind of a tour of this man's life, but he has made a huge difference in organized real estate in a very special way. First of all, Donnell is a real estate broker in the Baltimore area. He is a consummate professional. He is well known and an award winner in his marketplace. He is exceedingly well respected and has won tremendous awards. We'll talk about some of those in a bit. But more than anything, this guy is just a big, strong, personal character. Just love him. When you meet Donnell Spivey, you meet a big man, a barrel-chested linebacker type of a guy that with a resonant, beautiful voice. He's a special guest. So we're very happy to have you, Donnell.
I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you invited me to be a part of this.
Well, you're very special. So take us back real quick to your humble beginnings in North Carolina. Tell us where you were born. What was your life situation? This is fun.
Well, actually, I was born in rural North Carolina, a very poor county. Actually, it was the poorest county in North Carolina, I've been told. And I started with my father and my parents. I had 13 kids. My father was a sharecropper, so I grew up on a farm until one day my brother, who lived in Maryland, came home and asked if I wanted to go to Maryland with him to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I said yes, and I took off for Maryland.
So you show up there, you show up in Maryland, you don't know anybody but your brother. What do you do? How do you make a living? What do you do with yourself?
Well, so I left North Carolina with less than $20 in my pocket and one suitcase or a bag, and I started doing odd jobs in Maryland at, through some of my connections that my brother had, and then I finally landed a job with Amtrak as a conductor, and I worked there for about 13 years as a conductor, and started investing in real estate. I decided to get my real estate license so I could earn the commission when I made a sale or made a purchase. And shortly thereafter, Amtrak laid me off. So I started selling real estate full time.
Cool.
And Amtrak called me back and I made a choice. My choice was to continue to sell real estate. So I quit working at Amtrak and just started selling real estate full time.
Leaders profile, Donnell, are just so interesting to me. Here you're working for Amtrak. What in the world possessed you and your brother to start buying real estate?
So we were living in an apartment, renting an apartment, and for some bright moment hit me to say, hey, we need to buy a house together. So the three of us brought a row house or a townhouse together. And then as each one of us got married and started new lives, we left. And the other brothers brought us out and we went on with our individual lives. And that's where the investing in real estate started.
Wow.
That was, I think I was 23 at that time. And, you know, we just started investing in real estate.
So you start selling real estate. You ultimately end up in REMAX in 1986. You became one of the top producers in the REMAX in that area for many years, right?
Yeah, well, I think it started with, it wasn't that I was a bright person in terms of smart. As I remember, I grew up as the son of a sharecropper. So it was the values that I was taught through my parents was the care for people, the honesty, and always, you know, just treat people right. And that transcends into my real estate career. And as a result of it, I had tons of referrals from family members as well as others, repeat clients, and it blossomed me into being a successful real estate agent at REMAX. I was at REMAX for 18 years and became one of their top producers.
Yeah, you started also with one of the local independents, Otis Warren Real Estate there. So there, REMAX. I was looking at your bio that your sales volume averaged $8.5 million annually for 18 years. Now, this was a long time ago, folks. $8.5 million. Remember when the $1 million club was special? I mean, here's this sharecropper kid in Baltimore, Maryland, doing $8.5 million in sales a year for 18 years. That's just pretty cool, Donnell. Pretty cool.
Well, I was certainly blessed to be amongst the people that needed help with buying homes, and I was there willing to give service and, you know, treat them right. And, you know, sometimes that's unheard of from business salespeople.
Well, as a consequence, your real estate career has really had a beautiful history to it. I mean, you've been a recipient of NAREB's Bill Hamilton Award. I want you to tell us more about that. Later, Realtist of the Year, the Baltimore Sun newspaper recognized you as one of the top 9 real estate agents in the Baltimore area. And then your local congressman, Elijah Cummings, came to town and gave you a very special designation as the first African-American real estate broker to offer real estate services in your area. So you have a national level accommodation. So what we want to establish here, number one, is this guy is a realtor. He's a great salesperson, and he now owns, he's got a beautiful brokerage there, Exit Spivey Professional Realtors in the Baltimore area, still doing very, very well. We're very proud of him. Now, what most people do not know is what we'll discuss yet next, and that's the history of in real estate. You know, real estate started in 1908 in Chicago. And folks, up until 1947, well, at 1947, Black Americans, African Americans, realtors were not allowed. They were not welcome to join the National Association of Realtors. Now, many people do not know that. You'll probably shake your head at that, like, are you kidding me? But that's true. If you were a Black realtor like Donnell, you could not and were not welcome to join NAR. So in 1947, something happened. Tell us a little about that.
Well, so Bob, you know, you're pretty much accurate, except for the fact that we weren't realtors. We couldn't join the Realtor Association, so we were real estate professionals trying to find a home so that we could get educated and learn and the trade. And the realtors would not allow Blacks to join. So in 1947, a group of African Americans formed a group called the National the National Association of Real Estate Brokers, better known as NAREB, to join this organization to train African-American real estate professionals to be the best in the business. Mm-hmm. Did a great job in terms of organizing it. And now we have over 93 chapters across the country of real estate professionals. primarily made of African-American real estate professionals, but anyone can join this association. As I recall, you yourself, Bob, is a member of this association.
That's a fact. I'm a card-carrying member of NAREB, and I very much enjoy the group. You know, we've met a lot of people in Exit Realty in NAREB, but you and Andrea Cooksey have just been formidable national leaders of the organization. Now, you're not realtors. You're what? What's the name?
We're called Realtist.
Realtist, T-I-S-T, Realtist. So if you can imagine that, a whole different association, not realtors, but Realtists, and off they go. Now, during the Martin Luther King days and all of that, fair housing, there were still just, in the 40s and 50s and 60s, there was a lot of neighborhood block busting, and people would not allow blacks to buy homes in certain neighborhoods. There was a lot of work to do, wasn't there?
There was a lot of work to do. There was a lot of underlying stuff that we had to do in order to become homeowners, in terms of getting sometimes white friends to make that purchase or loan us money to get houses. This, of course, was before my time, but these are stories that I'm told by my predecessors in NAREB. But one of the big events, Bob, that happened was NAREB pushed to pass a bill for fair housing. And this bill was started back in probably 1966. The bill sat on President Johnson's desk for like 2 years, and he wouldn't sign the bill. And actually, the realtors were against the fair housing law. It was not until April the 11th, 1968, that this bill was passed. And it was passed because the week before, Martin Luther King was assassinated in April 7th in 1968. And all of the unrest that was happening across the country, President Johnson decided to sign the bill into law, the National Fair Housing Act, into law on April the 11th, 1968. And I think his main purpose was to stop the unrest across the country. And it did. It had an impact. It's one of those things that we don't talk about a lot, but Martin Luther King lost his life during that time. And we got out of it the Fair Housing Act, the National Fair Housing Act of 1968. But NAREB was the one that introduced that bill, the National Fair Housing Act.
Well, that's pretty significant. That is historic. That's just significant. You know, the dark stain of our American history of such deep prejudice, particularly in the South, we're not proud of. But what we are proud of is that we're solving it. I mean, for you guys to I was reading a history of NAREB, and the original founders were 12 people. There was 11 men and one woman, and her name was Black. And these people, and then all the way to people like Donnell carrying the torch, I'm telling you, they have changed this world. They've changed world. They've changed real estate at its fundamental core. And we just can't say enough about that. I mean, so tell me the journey through NAREB. You joined. What were your roles as you began heading toward national president?
Well, I actually joined the local chapter in 1989 and started to attend their local meeting and went on to their conventions. And I think it was 2003. We were at a national convention for the National Association of Real Estate Brokers in Jamaica. And I started to raise my concern with some things that were happening that were not correct. And after that general meeting, I was asked if I would join the national board of the National Association of Real Estate Brokers, in which I agreed. So my journey actually started in about 2003. And I went on to be the third vice president, second vice president, first vice president, and president-elect of the National Association of Real Estate Brokers And from there, I went to being the president from 2013 to 2015. Mm-hmm. And I was installed in Denver, Colorado.
Yes, sir. Now, let me just point out a teaching point here. Leadership starts at its core by one person believing they can make a difference. Now, that's how most of you started out there in your leadership journey. I can make a difference here. I can do this better. I can improve this. Now, did you hear Donnell said he was at this meeting and he didn't like the way things were going? And so he says, I can make a difference. Folks, that's just a huge teaching point for all of us leaders. We have those moments in time where we just say, man, I can improve this. And we're glad you did, Donnell, because that night in Denver, I was in the room to watch you receive the gavel as the national president of NAREB. It was a proud moment for you. You had family galore. How many people did your personal family flew in from all over the country that night?
Man, that was amazing night, Bob. You have no idea how I felt after that night. I had over 35 family members to fly into Denver, Colorado. All of my siblings were there. My parents had 13 kids and there were 10 of us left at the time. All of us was at that event, as well as nieces, nephews, friends, cousins.
It was beautiful to see. That your family table was probably 35, 40 feet long. It was just a beautiful thing to watch. And Tammy Bunnell, the president of Exit, and the regional owners, Rick and Carol McDaniel, a lot of your Exit friends came. But, man, what a special night. So what difference?
Well, you know, that's the other part is I got to recognize my Exit friend. And, you know, it was surprising. You know, when you become a president of an organization like that, you gain status. But to have Tammy Bunnell there before being installed as the president was amazing. Yeah. So that night I got to thank, of course, my personal family, but my Exit family was there in strong support as well. There probably was 15 to 20 Exit family members that was at that convention, Bob.
Yeah.
And Tammy and yourself, Rick McDaniel and Carol, Jim Hyatt, a lot of them were at that event. Yes. They flew to Denver just for that event.
It was beautiful to see. Now, a fun little side story that you reminded me of, you got up and gave your speech, and at the end, and most people don't know this about me, but I'm a trained public speaker and a public speaking coach. I said, hey, Donnell, I could I'll work with you on your speaking skill. Tell them about that. We had fun after that.
Yeah, what you said was, Bob, you did a poor job with your speech. Let me help you. No, that's not what he said. He offered his services. And actually, Bob, my first meeting after being installed was in Dallas, Texas, at a meeting with the local chapter. You were present. And you offered your service to help me if I needed help with public speaking. And you gave me free training during that time that I was in Dallas. So it is very appreciative.
It was fun. We met in a hotel room. We set up a podium, and he was up giving these talks and doing them over. It was pretty fun.
One thing I got to say this, Bob. You gave me a clutch to pass the torch. And I still have it today.
Wow.
It was a metal pole. I don't know if you remember it. It says, you can't continue to travel across the country and do all the work yourself. You got to pass the torch as you leave each meeting. And you gave me a torch to pass on to the person at that local meeting.
Yes, indeed. Pass the baton.
Yeah, pass the baton.
Well, now you're the national president and you're touring the country. 2 years he served as the national president. And what's it like to lead a big, big organization like that with thousands and thousands of members, 83 chapters? What kind of What lessons did you learn? What did you have to do that?
Well, Bob, I built relationships across the country, and it's 93 chapters across the country. I built relationships to the point that they sent me to the White House. There was a Johnson-Crapo bill, a proposed Johnson-Crapo bill to eliminate Fannie and Freddie. Mm-hmm. And I attended 5 White House meetings opposing to eliminate Fannie and Freddie. And we became out victoriously. Mm-hmm. So what people don't know is that FHA, Fannie and Freddie are loan products that African Americans use quite frequently to buy homes. Mm-hmm. If they eliminate it, then it would hinder the growth of homeownership amongst the African American folks. Mm-hmm. So we defeated that bill. And I traveled across the country and made relationships on top of relationship. To this day, Bob, it's not a week past that I don't get a call from someone from across the country to say, do you know of someone that's in this state or that city so mm-hmm. that we can send referrals across the country?
So you're still a connector. Well, it's just, I just grin from ear to ear to think about this sharecropper kid from North Carolina sitting in the White House making national decisions. And it's a beautiful story, Donnell. You got to be so proud of yourself for it.
So, Bob, what it reminds me of sitting there was out of those 5 meetings, 3 of those 5 meetings at the White House, I was the only African American in the room. And there were like 25 to 30 other people sitting around the table.
Hmm. Was this under George Bush, George W.?
No, that was under...
When was it?
2013, that would have been...
Bill Clinton?
Mm-mm. It was...
Now, here we're both a couple of dummies don't know who the president was at the time.
I can't think now.
Well...
Nothing crazy. So that must have been Bush.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
I, again, it just amazes me. Now, I don't know what the, I know what Realtist of the Year would be, but what's the Bill Hamilton Award?
So the Bill Hamilton Award was they recognized people within the NARAB organization for their production and their service to the community. Mm-hmm. And I was awarded that in 1989. And they recognize you on the stage, as you know. They do everything glamorous and black tie. And so it was a very impressive moment as well.
Now, I'm a realtist, I've told you. And I want to tell you something. If you want to have fun, I recommend everybody, all of you out there, look into the National Association of Real Estate Brokers. If you want to have fun at a Christmas party, people dress like you've never seen before, having just a hoot of a good time. You guys are fun to be around. I've never been around a group of realtors that I just didn't have a ball. And you're doing great work, man, doing great work. Now, your leadership skills had to just grow exponentially with this national platform. I mean, what kind of major lessons did you take away from that experience?
Well, you know, you have to reflect back on where I came from. I had no idea that I would end up in a position of that sort. And to be able to meet with the leaders of different major corporations, the Bank of America, the Wells Fargo, and the likes, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. So all of those relationships was built during those time periods. And now I still get calls to serve on panels and speak about different topics. You mentioned the newspaper articles, get calls all the time from the newspaper just to give opinion and give advice on different issues that arise, both locally and nationally. And so all of those things help excel you to a different level that, you know, for me, I never dreamed that I would be at.
One of the things I try to encourage realtors, local realtors, to do is to get involved with their community and get involved with their boards of realtors. This real estate business does not run itself. You know, there's a lot of people behind the scenes making a difference. My advice to all real estate brokers is get out of that office, be an active member of your board, and get down there and make a difference. I would suspect when you chose to do that, I mean, the hours you put into this thing over all those chairs, this 10 years of effort, you were away from home, you were away from your business, you were away from your office, doing this committee work. Some people would shake their head at that, but what's your opinion of that? What did you learn and what did it do for you?
So for me, I did have a great assistant that worked at the office, in addition to an office manager and that kind of stuff to run the office. But for me, it just meant a future for me and as a growth in the industry. It did take a lot away from the business at the time. But now, when you come out, you reap the benefits. You use the resources that you gained during that time period. Now, when I run into an issue with, we'll say, Bank of America or whoever, I know who I can pick up the phone and call.
Yeah.
And they can help me through that issue.
Absolutely. In a podcast not long ago, Chuck Lamb, who's also was the California Association president and NAR vice president, said the same thing. Your world gets so much bigger, and your connections, the people you know, your skill, it's like we took Donnell and just stretched you, and you're just a bigger human being, aren't you?
Absolutely. And it's all about building a relationship, but it starts with the foundation of just having the will and the desire to treat people right and be fair with folks. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you're going to have a tremendous growth as a result of it.
Well, kind of summing this up, Donnell, with your whole life experience in real estate, we got real estate brokers listening to this. What's some of your advice and tips for, say, a young leader out there moving up through the ladders of life? What advice would you give the next generation of leaders?
Well, I would say that if you're committed to real estate and real estate being your profession and your career, then you need to, the old adage, you need to live and breathe real estate.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to work for others and not look at the fact of what I'm gaining out of it. But if you approach it from a perspective of helping others, what you're looking for is going to come to you. But you just have to make sure your approach is to help others first.
Mm-hmm.
When you help others, then everything else flows to you.
That's a Zig Ziglar thought, isn't it? You get what you want by helping others get what they want.
Right. Yeah. And you know, exit teaches that all day long.
Yeah. It's good people. Good people. Donnell, I just want to tell you that this has been a delight. You know, this is an eye-opening conversation for many, many people. They will not have heard this history. They would not hear of the prejudice that was in this industry and what you founders had to do. But by golly, one thing I know is we can solve problems. When there is something, when there is a wrong, we can right it. And you, my friend, have been a huge, huge soldier in the war of righting this wrong. You've led a national association in high style. You ought to see this guy's suits, man. He has these suits made. He's a dapper dude, I tell you. But Donnell, you are more than that. You're a good man of faith. You're a good man of friendship. We honor you, buddy. I'm so glad you joined me today. This has been a great story you've told.
Well, Bob, thank you for having me. Thank you for inviting me to be a part of it. I'm always willing to share my story. I hope that it helps others, you know, reach their goal in terms of what they want to do in life as well as what they want to do in business. So I'm hoping it inspires someone else that they can do it too. If a sharecropper's son with a 12th grade education can do it, then so can they.
You betcha. Now, reach out, everybody, to Narib. And Donnell, give them your personal email or website. So if somebody may just want to talk to you, how would they get hold of it?
So they can call me. My direct line at the office is 410-680-2004. Mm-hmm. My email address is Donnell, D-O-N-N-E-L-L, at exitspiveypros.com. Mm. And of course, you can go on Exit website and find me, Donnell Spivey.
Yeah.
D-O-N-N-E-L-L-S-P-I-V-E-Y.
Well, guys, check out the National Association of Real Estate Brokers. It is a great group. And if nothing else, go to some of their meetings, say hello, network with them. They are fabulous folks. Donnell, you're a treat, and I appreciate it. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Thank you for everything.
Thank you for tuning into this podcast. We hope you have heard an idea or two that affirms your decision to be the best leader you can be. Feel free to contact Bob with questions or suggestions for a new show at bmckinnon@exitrealty.com. Remember, our profession needs strong leadership at all levels, so go out there and be one today.